Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, and supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And if you're out across America listening to us, we hope that you'll give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we hope very soon to have with us Senator Michelle Bachmann. And of course, we're going to be talking about the situation up in Minnesota, where she is in the state Senate. And of course, she belongs to the Maple River Educational Coalition. That's the Maple River Educational Coalition, and it's a wonderful organization. They have had a profound impact up there, and they got Michelle actually elected to the state Senate, and of course she is there leading the battle, trying to get the legislators to understand what's really happening as far as the moves to change our educational system. And actually, up in Minnesota, they have actually refuse to accept the federal standards for education. So if you, of course, want to get information, and I think this is a fascinating source of information, we're very, very fortunate to have Senator Bachmann with us today. And we'll getting her on the line right this very minute. So now you must understand that we have been told, oh, we have this wonderful new educational system. And it's dedicated, of course, to no child left behind. Well, what they really mean is no child will be allowed to have the values that once made America great. They have a program, and it has nothing to do with returning the control of education to the parent and to the local school board, as we've been told. The purpose of this educational system is to indoctrinate our children in internationalism and paganism and destroy their belief in what was once the land of the free and the home of the brave. Well, we're just going to see what's going on. We'll be here in just a moment at Radio Liberty. Well, Dr. Stan back here, and of course, hopefully we'll have Michelle with us very, very soon, and she's a very articulate spokesman with a profound understanding of what's really going on behind the scenes. Now, you must understand that there was this program, basically, if you've heard our interviews with Charlotte Isabey in the past, the program was really undertaken during the Reagan administration, the opening years of that, and it was basically to create a outcome-based educational system. Contracts were signed with the Soviet Union. We would have exactly the same type of educational system there and all throughout the world. And of course, it was really to do away with the traditional form of teaching. It was workforce education, because you don't want smart people. They're not going to want to stay in the corporation all of their lives. What you want to do is, of course, is begin to get the children trained very early for a menial task. And then, of course, they'll stay there all their lives, beginning looking forward to their pension, but never teach them about freedom, never teach them about liberty, never teach them about the foundations of our freedom. Get them to go along with this idea of the New World Order and the New World Religion, and certainly begin to bring them into these pagan beliefs that have been so prevalent down through the centuries. These people knew exactly what they were doing, and that's exactly what this new educational system is all about. And the fact that you're not hearing about it from Barbara Walters or Dan Rather or Tom Brokaw simply reflects the degree of control that today exists over what the American people think. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. but of the battle for survival of Western civilization. It's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And well, right now we have us on line from Minnesota, Senator Michelle Bachmann. And thank you so very much for being with us.
Dr. Monteith, it's always a pleasure.
Well, you know, of course, you're on the front lines of this battle, and it's very difficult for the average individual to understand that when we were promised by the President George Bush, when he was running for office, that the purpose of this new program, this No Child Left Behind program, was to return control of education to the parent and to the local school board, but it's not really doing that, is it?
Well, no, not at all. In fact, there's really not a blip worth of difference between No Child Left Behind, the President Bush's education bill, and the bill that was proffered by former President Clinton during his tenure. They are essentially the same bill. There's no difference. That's why we saw Senator Edward Kennedy able to embrace No Child Left Behind and to become a strong advocate for it.
So we have Ted Kennedy, one of the most radical leftists in the United States Senate, supporting the president. In fact, some people even referred to it as the Kennedy-Bush bill. Was that
right? That's right. That's right. It was a very odd mixture, and you saw conservatives all over the country scratching their head. And I think a lot of conservatives, Dr. Monteith, actually thought that this was a softer side of Ted Kennedy, rather than thinking that President Bush was behind essentially a Bill Clinton education bill. They were giving President Bush the benefit of the doubt and thinking it was Ted Kennedy that had gone soft. It was just the opposite.
Well, of course, I think the significant thing for the American people to know is we're not getting the truth from the media. And
no.
Certainly, we want you to tell our listeners what is really entailed in this incredible new legislation that has been put through.
Well, I'm glad, Dr. Monteith, that you say to your listeners that it is an incredible piece of legislation, because I'm here as an elected official underscoring that you are exactly right. No Child Left Behind is a radical 180-degree departure from the way education has been performed for 225 years.
I'm going to have to interrupt you there, because we've got to bring one more station on, but they'll be here just now. Well, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon is Senator Michelle Bachmann, and she's, am I pronouncing that last name right?
It's Bachmann, like the composer.
Right, Bachmann. Okay, fine, Bachmann, Michelle Bachmann, and of course, she is in the state senate in Minnesota, and trying to get the information out across America that you're not getting from Barbara Walters or Dan Rather or Tom Brokaw. So you pick up the story from there. Why is this such a strange a departure from the traditional means of education that once made America's educational system the envy of the world?
Well, there is really one reason and one reason only. It's because we are seeing a centralization of power in Washington, D.C. at the federal government level. Education has always been a local issue. And only in recent years, I would say in the last 50 years, have we seen states take a predominant role in education. And that was accomplished essentially through consolidation of local school districts, and then the state began usurping decision-making authority made by local elected school boards and local superintendents. But where we really saw the radical departure was with the passage under President Bill Clinton of Goals 2000 and the School to Work legislation, and also H.R. 6. That troika of federal legislation in 1994 laid the groundwork. Those were three voluntary federal bills. They were not mandatory on the states, and essentially what they were big barrels full of money. And the states could choose to get involved with Goals 2000 and School to Work if they wanted this big barrel of federal money. And of course, every state said yes, and they all signed up. But it was voluntary. And in Minnesota, we did something extraordinary that we'll probably get into later on in your show, but we essentially rejected that Goals 2000 legislation. What happened under President Bush now, Dr. Monteith, with the passage of No Child Left Behind, is No Child Left Behind essentially cemented into place every bit of Goals 2000, School to Work, and HR 6, which turned from being voluntary to now being mandatory. Every state now is required to come under the thumb of the federal government. That's never happened before in the history of the United States of America.
But of course, if this is centralized planning like they have in Russia, why would a conservative Christian president embrace such a communistic system with federal control over education, ultimately over what the child thinks and believes, and of course, you know, their attitude towards God and family and country. And I know, is, and perhaps you can touch on this later, but of course the God that is being pushed in this new program is not the God of the Bible. The values are not American values, and of course, this is one of the most disastrous things. Why would the Republicans be embracing something which is so contrary to everything that the Republican Party has traditionally stood for?
Well, there's an old trick that's called doublespeak and bait and switch. And this is being sold to Republicans as being accountability. That's the big word out there now among legislators. Accountability is the number one word. But what's so crazy about this is that the accountability goes from the little guy up. And that's not the way the United States of America works. In the United States of America, the people are the sovereign. In other words, the lowest level, the lowest rung on the ladder of the political hierarchy is really in charge. That's the people. Now the sovereignty of the people has been greatly diminished because accountability now flows up. So imagine that. Your local fifth grade teacher now will be accountable to the Federal Department of Education more so than to the locally elected school board.
And certainly not at all to the local parent, because there's nothing the parent can do other than pull their child out of school.
That's right.
The federal government's going to dictate what they're taught. And, of course, is this really getting better reading and writing and arithmetic?
Oh, well, of course not. No, the scores have been flatlined for over the last 30 years, and we've seen costs skyrocketing. Now, costs are different from state to state, what we spend, but I had just read a figure about 2 weeks ago that said if you took all of the money that we spend at the federal, state, and local level on education, it would come out to the astronomical sum. Now, this is in the public arena. This isn't private schools or homeschools. This is just strictly public. It would come out to about $12,000 per student on average. That is an enormous amount of money that we're spending. And we could have a first-class education over and over again, but we're certainly not getting what we paid for. So the scores have been essentially flat, and we also see that we actually have been seeing a diminution in scores because numbers have been artificially added to the SAT and the ACT scores. You're probably familiar that the SAT and ACT were recalibrated in 1993, and because the scores were going so much lower every year, an automatic 100 points was given to every student just for signing their name in the name blank.
In other words, they dumbed down the test.
They dumbed down the test, but they also gave every person that took the test an automatic extra 100 points. Because the scores were so low on the graph, there was no way that you could talk people out of it. You know, you just couldn't. And so then an artificial 100 points was just granted to every student. So that's what you have. So doublespeak, meaning that words were exchanged for words. We were told we were getting accountability, but actually we're getting centralized planning. The other thing, Dr. Monteith, the reason why legislators and conservative Republicans have bought into this is because of the idea of bait and switch. They were told that they were getting local control when, in fact, they were getting more centralized planning.
All right. Well, are you having any luck of reaching the people, the legislators there in Minnesota? And I know your organization, the Maple River Educational Coalition, has been trying, of course, to reach people in Washington, D.C. as well. Are any of the legislators beginning to understand they've been lied to?
Well, you know, I really think in large measure we were extremely effective. Here in Minnesota, We did what I think no other state in the country has been able to do, and recognize Minnesota is not the Bible Belt. We are not a conservative bastion up here. We're the only state that voted for Walter Mondale in the election against Ronald Reagan. When every other state up there was Reagan, we were the lone holdout for the Democrat. We have always gone with the liberal candidate every single time, so we are not a conservative place at all. However, the people have spoken, and it's really because of the grassroots efforts of organizations like Maple River Education Coalition, who went out with speakers and talked to the people directly, such that the people themselves rose up and said to candidates, will you get rid of this education system? And in Minnesota, Goals 2000 was called the profile of learning. Some states call it frameworks of learning or standards of learning, or they have some fancy name for their new education reform movement. Ours was profile of learning. And every candidate had to put on their literature, even Democrats, that they would oppose the profile of learning, because that's where the people were at. And so a very small grassroots effort, well, it wasn't a small effort, but it was a very localized effort of very ordinary people that just started telling the truth about what was in Goals 2000 and School to Work, was able to effectively mobilize literally tens of thousands of people across Minnesota, such that they demanded that their local legislators get rid of this system. And it is nothing short of a divine intervention that occurred here in our state.
I'm sure it is, but a lot of hard work by some people who are really dedicated. And this is a success story. You're not hearing. Dedicated people can accomplish a great deal, but they have to be dedicated and they have to be willing to commit their time and effort and money. And they don't have a lot of money, but what they have, they invest, and other people will come around. People are always looking for leadership, and this is really what we need. Well, could you tell our listeners what this program really entails? Not what they say it entails, but what is it aimed at? What is this No Child Left Behind program really going to teach our children about?
Well, it will be redefining what America means. And you touched on that earlier in your remarks, Dr. Monteith. The entire principles that our nation was founded upon, which essentially are contained in the Declaration of Independence, that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these rights are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Those aren't just pleasing phrases to the ear. They are the bedrock of what the founders fought for and what we have always believed and espoused in this nation. Well, under the new national standards that are coming down the pike, national sovereignty is not one of the principles. It is now world citizenship, world government. That doesn't shock you, Dr. Monteith. That probably doesn't shock your listeners. But for many people, it is very shocking to them, people who are not necessarily as well-informed as yourself, that this is literally now the new mantra that our federal government is promoting. Now, this is actually treasonous, in my view, to support such a view, because we are a nation. We are not part of the world community in that we have relinquished our sovereignty. But that's one of the principles. Another principle is the diminution of free enterprise. Free enterprise is no longer part of the new system either. And the fact of equality among men is also being derided because of the effort of diversity, that certain groups are favored over other groups. Now, this isn't just Senator Bachman, her opinion. This is what the national standards actually say. In fact, the National Economic Standards, standard number 16, says, in fact, that the purpose of government is to redistribute income.
From each according to their ability, to each according to their need. We're going to be back here in just a few minutes with Senator Michelle Bachman, and we'll invite your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here on the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Why don't you wait until after the half hour before you call in here at Radio Liberty? Have you ever wondered what really happened at Waco? Have you ever wondered if
maybe the government was not giving you the full story. Well, that is the most amazing video. It's called Waco, the Rules of Engagement, 2.5 ripping hours of the story of a government onslaught into a group of peaceable people. Well, their religion may be different than yours and mine, but they were still Christians, they still believed in the Bible, and they believed that the government would one day become their enemy and destroy them. Well, Waco, the Rules of Engagement is a video that everybody who loves freedom should see, because the ultimate conclusion is the government did not want them to come out. The government did everything they could to keep them from coming out, to antagonize them, loud music, lights all the time, to totally create a situation where they could not think clearly or respond normally. Waco, the Rules of Engagement, is currently unavailable through regular sources. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR right now.
This is radio health journalist Bill Sardi. Hey, a lot of smart supplement users like to check out the facts before they purchase an herbal product. So go to www.lifespannnutrition.com and read all about Alamax, the new odorless, 100% pure Allicin garlic extract imported from Great Britain. You'll find Alamax is equivalent to 15 cloves of fresh, crushed garlic. Check it out at www.lifespannnutrition.com or call 866-405-405 4000 to learn more about this breakthrough in garlic technology called Alamax. Call 1-866-405-4000 today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I just want to tell you about the Berkey water filters that we carry. One of them is the Big Berkey, and of course it's made out of stainless steel. And of course you put a 2.5 gallons at the top, and it comes out the bottom. It goes through ceramic filters that are packed with activated carbon, and it'll take out the bacteria. It'll take out a lot of the chemicals and a lot of the heavy metals, things of that sort, things that you just don't want to have in your drinking water, and it makes the water taste great. Now, of course, a lot of people who have wells or have water they don't like the taste of, this is a great thing. If you have fluorine in your water, fluoride in your water, you can put a special adaption on the bottom of that, and it'll actually take the fluoride out. Those are called post filters. But of course, the Big Berkey has been a standard. It's been used for missionaries for years. Ordinarily, of course, they cost $279. We sell it for $239. And of course, if we offer you a free video or free audio tape if you buy one through Radio Liberty. And that's one video or audio tape that we've actually produced. Call 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. The Big Berkey is available in every state except California or Iowa. But there is a Berkey that is available in every state but Iowa, so you can get it if you want to in California. They're portable. It's called the Berkey Light, and it's made of a substance called Lexan. It's what they make bulletproof glass out of, and of course you can then see the water level, which is an advantage. And then of course it has black Berkey filters rather than the ceramic filters, and these are great filters. They're even better than ceramic, except they have to be replaced every couple of years. But depending upon how much water you use, unless you're using an awful lot of water, you're not going to have to replace them for a time. The black Berkey, of course, filters are much more efficient. We call them water purifiers rather than water filters. And this is $199, unless you, of course, want the lights with it, and that's another $650. But certainly, I think you get by fine if you simply get the regular Berkey light. And, of course, they're available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. You can go to our website, and you will actually see them. But give us a call for the Berkey water filters. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest today is Michelle Bachmann. And, of course, we're talking about what's going on. And she is a state senator in the state of Minnesota. And, of course, what has happened up there is they've actually refused to accept the federal money. They refused to accept this program, which is designed to change the attitude of our children towards God and family and country. Why don't you sort of pick up in your description of what's really in this program?
Well, actually, let me just correct that last statement, Dr. Mantri. We did not reject the federal money. I had a bill to have us do just that this year, but I was not able to get that through this session. What we did is we eliminated the profile of learning under Goals 2000 and School to Work. All 50 states put into place a new education reform measure in their state. There's not one state that didn't. and ours is called the Profile of Learning. And what we did in this last session was historic. We eliminated, we repealed it, we got rid of the Profile of Learning, and now we are in the process of putting into place new state standards. And our goal is to put in standards now that are based on academics, not on attitudes, values, and beliefs. And you had alluded to that earlier, that that's a lot of what these new standards deal with, and that's absolutely true. Your listeners can go to numerous websites. For instance, the Center for Civics Education has the new civics standards, and there's a new federal bill that's making its way through Congress right now. It hasn't passed, but it has significant support by Republicans, unfortunately. And it redefines civics education in our country such that we no longer will be teaching students about the principles of our government. We'll be teaching them what's called notions. Well, a notion, it seems to me, it's kind of a spontaneous idea, something off the cuff. It's not something eternal like the principles that our country stood for. But the interesting thing, again, is that these so-called notions have very little to do with the basic foundations of our country, and they have more to do with a people who are subject to government's whims rather than government being subject to the people's whims. Also, a lot of what we see in the new science standards is teaching radical environmentalism, and that is all about belief and very little about objective, verifiable scientific theory.
But, you know, I've talked to some of the people who have analyzed this, and they say they're really teaching almost a pagan belief, that we're all part of rocks and the trees, and they're part of us. What insanity? That's a religion. You can't teach that in school, according to our Constitution.
That's right, and you would think that a lawsuit would be successful to that end. I know that at some lower courts, lawsuits have been brought forward asserting that secular humanism is being taught in our schools, that that is found to be a religion, and that that shouldn't be taught. And specifically now, with radical environmentalism being taught, where we essentially have the Sierra Club and Greenpeace teaching the science classroom to our kids, in many, many cases, kids are being taught not only attitudes, values, and beliefs from a radical perspective, but they are being taught a pagan form of earth worship. And I can say that because I have personally viewed science curriculum that advocates that. Also, I've been given books as a legislator in the committee that I sit on, the very last chapter of which was devoted to the religious aspect of the new science standards. And I was appalled because this is not hidden. This is wide open. It's out in the open, and the advocates of all of this new radical teaching are very bold. And so I would just, again, encourage your listeners to go and check out your children or grandchildren's textbooks and go online and see what's on some of these websites from the National Science Foundation. Go to Sierra Club, go to Greenpeace, and you will be absolutely shocked and appalled by what you see.
And basically, of course, I think what people have to understand is you go from the Christian worldview to the secular humanist worldview, which
That's
is
right.
an atheist worldview, but then there is another paradigm, and that is the step we are in today, and that is when you go from the secular humanist or atheist to another religion, and of course this is the religion of paganism, being taught in our schools under the auspices of the current administration. And we have to ask ourselves, how did this happen? Why are these things happening? And if it is true, why aren't we hearing about it from Barbara Walters, Dan Rather, or Tom Brokaw? And I'd like to suggest the reason we're not hearing is they want to keep their jobs, don't rock the boat, go along, get your pension, retire, and be happy. But ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the destruction of America, for there's no incidents in all history where a nation has turned its back on God, and God has not eventually turned his back on that nation. We're going to be back here right after the break with Senator Michelle Bachmann from Minnesota, and we'll invite your calls here at Radio Liberty.
really help you to understand the nature of the spiritual battle in which we're currently involved. It's Gary Carr's book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism. Now, you may remember Gary Carr's book, Being to Global Occupation. His second book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism, goes into the very real spiritual forces, the dark and sinister spiritual forces, which have energized those people who are molding the world in which we live today. Going into the background of Masonry, Theosophy, and he actually quotes extensively from the writings of these people who have helped to mold the events of the 20th century. The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Carr will give you tremendous insight into the background of what's happening in America today. And unless you understand the spiritual forces at work, you really can't understand the unfolding of events. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Carr.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly I want to tell you about some of the other items we have. One of the Miracle 2 soap products, and we can't make any medical claims for them. We can only tell you what our listeners and the people who use them say. I mean, we had a woman call the other day, and I think it was her daughter that had used the Miracle 2 gel on her skin. She had terrible acne, and she said, gee, it just did a wonderful job. Now, we can't tell you it's going to help, but it helped this one girl. All you could do would be to get these products and try them, and of course, we think they're wonderful. We get all sorts of wonderful reports from the people who use them, which is one reason we use the Miracle 2 products and of course, why we recommend them to our listeners. So if you'd like to know more about Miracle 2, give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. If you'd like to get an introductory set of the soap, the moisturizing soap, the lotion, the gel, and the neutralizer, which I know some people take because it seems to really help their heartburn, give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And we also carry Phonopoly. It's a board game that teaches children how to read and spell and pronounce words phonetically, and it undoes all the harm that has been done in the government schools, deliberately dumbing down our children. Phonopoly, a wonderful game. I played it. It's loads of fun, and it's really 5 board games and 2 bonus games. We throw in a couple of books. Phonopoly, of course, is $139.95. Most of these programs are $300, $400, $600. Give us a call and ask about Phonopoly. We also carry the Robinson homeschool curriculum, and if you care about your children or grandchildren, get them out of the government schools, because once they control their minds, you'll never get it back again. And so, really, this is actually 22 CDs. Everything is there. You're going to need for grammar school to high school graduation. And the only books you have to get, the only extra books, is the Saxon Homeschool Curriculum. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR right this minute. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest is Senator Michelle Bachmann, and of course we've got the board all lit up, and we've got, well, let's go to Jim calling from Salinas first of all. Hi, Jim. Do you have a question or comment?
Yes, I certainly do, Dr. Stan, and thank you so very much, and thank you, Senator Bachmann, for being on Radio Liberty today.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. I want to say I'm a big supporter, of course, of homeschools because I've been involved with the National Christian Forensics Communicators Association, which is homeschool kids 12 to 18 years of age, and I've seen how superior homeschool kids turn out. But for those who are in the public schools, and since some of my tax dollars are going towards subsidizing the public schools, what can we here in the state of California do about our schools? What do you know about the situation with respect to the California Department of Education?
Well, California is on board with every bit of this. I was out speaking with several other individuals in the Santa Rosa area, and it was in January, I think. It was in January that the Eagle Forum of California sponsored a marvelous conference, and we had done some research on California schools, and they are currently putting into effect School to Work in California. And essentially what School to Work is, children in eighth grade are forced to choose a career. And then from eighth grade until graduation, all of their curriculum is centered around whatever that career is. And by career, it could be a cosmetologist, it could be a cashier in a grocery store, it could be any number of jobs. But essentially a child is forced to choose a career early and then have all of their education just be focused so that the only math they would learn is the math that a cosmetologist would have to know in her job, or the math that a meat packer would need to know.
It sounds to me like they're dumbing down our children, aren't they?
Yes. Oh, without a doubt. And when we were in Santa Rosa, just the month prior to my going out there speaking, I went to the website of Santa Rosa High School, Junior High, and Elementary School, checked out what they had, sent away from materials. I got the local Santa Rosa newspaper, and they were just in the process of turning their high schools into school-to-work high schools. And this is a beautiful area in California, Santa Rosa, and they're now in the process of turning this all over into school-to-work high schools. And it's not all high schools are completely turned into school-to-work high schools yet in California, but district by district, they're in the process of switching over, turning away from academic-centered curriculum and toward vocational education. But it's vocational education for what's needed in the local business community. So, for instance, if your local business area is agriculture, those are the jobs that will be offered in your local high school.
What happens if I want my son wants to be a doctor?
Well, then you should probably move to an area that's offering that. I mean, quite, Dr. Stan, here's an example. Minneapolis Public Schools have implemented for 100% of all students, this is the largest school district in the state of Minnesota, it's all school to work. One girl wanted to become a nurse. She was told, if you want to become a nurse, you'll have to move to Richfield, a local suburb, because they are offering nursing. You can't get it here in Minneapolis. So literally, you'll have to move to different areas to get different. And this sounds bizarre. I know this sounds bizarre. But go to the Minneapolis School District website, and you can see for yourself what I'm talking about. Every eighth grader is required to choose what's affectionately called a smaller learning community. It's a double speak. It's the same word for school to work. And in Santa Rosa, you have that too, smaller learning communities, and it's young people having to choose their jobs. But your question specifically was, what can you do out there? I would say contact, for instance, Eagle Forum of California. They're working very hard to try to address this issue. Also, I know there's a very strong parent group, interestingly, in Santa Cruz, and they're fighting this as well. But contact a woman named Orlean at Eagle Forum of California. She lives in Santa Rosa, and she would be happy. Go to their website, eagleforum.org, and whatever it is in California, and they will be able to put you in touch with like-minded people, because trust me, if we can repeal our state education reform in Minnesota, if we can do it here in this state of ours, it can be done even in California.
And certainly I think the most important thing, Jim, is help us get the truth out. Now, here in the Santa Cruz area, where the group is headed by Barbara Reed, who's with the CRA, it's Orlean Kula. And if you want to know how to get hold of Orlean up in Santa Rosa, I'll be glad to let you know. But the most important thing right now is we need a new administration in Sacramento, number one.
Yes.
Two,
yes.
We need, of course, to get the people to understand and the parents to understand what they're doing to their children. And if they love them, if mothers really understood what they are doing to their heart, mind, and heart and soul, they'd be up in arms. You get them listening
well,
to our programs.
And you know, Dr. Monteith, that is exactly what happened here, is that the people of Minnesota said effectively to the state government, not with my child, you don't. Because Minnesota parents figured out that their children were not getting academics. And one thing about Minnesota is we had one of the top academic systems in the United States, and parents saw that their children weren't even able to make change anymore. They weren't able to read, and parents said, not with my child, you don't. And we pay very, very high taxes in Minnesota. And so people said, look, if we're paying all this money, we expect something for it. And so people just wouldn't tolerate it anymore.
And let me tell you, Jim, we have two things. We have one, a book called Fed Ed. I think it's $12.95 or something like that.
Excellent.
Written by Alan
Quist.
And then, of course, we have a four-tape set on Fed Ed. Looks just like the book. And, in fact, we're going to have the talk you're hearing today with Senator Bachman is going to be one of our four tapes. I hope you don't mind that, Senator. But
we
want to get this information out, and we're going to have Julie and Alan Quist and other people in this four-tape set. Jim, you can get the four-tape set. You can make copies of it. You can get people. If you want to get the book in large
that's
numbers,
the audio
we can get the
price
down.
That's the audio or is that the video?
No, this would be an audio.
That's the audio. Okay, right. There's also a video set, too. And one thing people can do is just invite people into their home and watch that or show it in their church or community center.
Yeah, where can they get the video?
They can get that from edwatch.org.
Edwatch.org.
Edwatch.org. Or the phone number is 651-646-0646. I'll give that number again. It is 651-646-0646. And that's the Maple River Education Coalition. And they probably are the premier organization now in the nation fighting this education reform movement. But number one, as a parent, our responsibility is to our own children. And so we need to make sure that our own children are being taught our values and our beliefs and that they're being taught to read and mathematics. And that may mean you need to homeschool your children at night if they're not getting it at school, or just homeschool them all together, or put them in a private school.
And, of course, this wonderful program, we have the Robinson Homeschool Curriculum. It doesn't cost that much, and the children do all of the work. Anything else, Jim?
Yes.
You mentioned, of course, Santa Rosa, which I'm familiar with, the Press Democrat newspaper. That's the area I grew up in up there.
Well, of course, that's one of the big reasons they have the problems, is because of the local newspaper.
Yeah, but the thing that I became aware of through this presentation is I had been led to believe that this school to work was something that was in addition to, like, general algebra, trigonometry, and so forth, instead of replacing it.
Right.
Well, that's part of the lie that has been advanced, and that is not the case. What's happened is that academics has been pushed out the front door. And in place, what they've brought in is essentially the old Soviet system called polytechnical education. And again, that sounds radical, but we have one of our professors here at the University of Minnesota, Robert Beck, was paid a $4 million grant by the Federal Department of Education to do a study on what would be the best education reform for the United States. And Dr. Beck's conclusion is that in the United States, we should implement the polytechnical system of education, the Soviet system, which has been tried there. It's been a failure. Tried in China, communist China, was a failure. And it's where central planning, government decides what careers are needed, and then about the 8th grade or 5th grade or 6th grade, children are slotted. They're labeled and they're slotted, and then they are trained for that vocational education, and they do not get what you and I got, which is a broad-based liberal arts K-12 education.
Hey, thanks so much, Jim.
We've got
a whole flock of people on the line, but thanks so much for calling. And I would just simply point out, you know, that when a nation turns against God, God eventually, of course, brings judgment on them. And he can, of course, bring judgment on our children, too. And I think that, of course, we have to be well aware of what's going on today. We've turned away from education. We've adopted a failed system. We're dumbing down our children. Because you don't want smart people, because they would understand what's happening, and they'd be concerned about the loss of freedom. Roger, a question or comment?
Yes, thanks. I have two questions, if you please. You're going to love this great line for us from...
No, yeah, we're going to have to ask the questions because we've got a lot of people on the line.
Okay. Yes, Senator, I'd be very interested in your analysis of this increasing, I think, near universal clamor, not just in Pennsylvania, but I'm sure this is a nationwide problem, to transfer more and more of the funding and therefore the control by all these, both Republican and Democratic vote whores, I call them, almost universally, away from the increasingly, admittedly increasing, crushing local property taxes.
And what's the question?
Transferring the funding to the state and federal levels, and people don't realize that they lose the control and get higher costs net.
All right, fine. Senator, that is...
that's right, and the joke of all of it is really how little federal money comes into the classroom. It's on the order, all federal money combined maybe is 6 to 7% of what is spent in your local classroom. It's maybe 6 to 7%. That's if you add up every bit of federal money. That includes your special ed money too. So a lot of this federal money is maybe 3% in just a regular academic classroom. So it's very, very little federal money, yet with let's say 6% of the funding comes from the federal government, yet that 6% dictates how the other 94% of the money is spent. It's a really bad bargain. So you essentially have the tail wagging the dog, because this little bit of chump change that comes down from the federal government tells your local school teacher what they have to teach, how they teach it, and now under No Child Left Behind, it tells them how they must test and what they must test.
No Child
Left Behind controls the curriculum by controlling the testing.
And, of course, then you have to teach to the test. And so the teacher hasn't changed the attitude of the children towards God, family, and country, the teacher has failed, and, of course, she's in real trouble. And the test, of course, is the trap in this whole thing. And people don't understand that there are politicians who say one thing, but they have an entirely different agenda.
Let me just add, Dr. Montooth, under No Child Left Behind, this new federal education law, the new national test is called the NAEP test, the National Assessment of Educational Progress. Every state is required to give a sampling of students the NAEP test. This controls and dictates every bit of the curriculum. And so all state assessments have to mirror what goes on in this national test, and that's exactly how the federal government controls the classroom. I've seen a NAEP test. It's now a felony for anyone to discuss the contents or share the contents of a NAEP test. It never was before. It's now a felony. And two-thirds of the NAEP questions were all personal, invasive questions. Questions such as, where did you live in your fifth birthday, on your ninth birthday? How far has your mother gone in school for her education? Did you attend Head Start or preschool or kindergarten? Well, number one, how can you grade a question like that? Number two, why is that any of the business of the federal government?
Okay, thanks very much, Roger. And let's go to Mike calling. Hi, Mike. Do you have a question or comment?
A question. I want to ask about the exit exam, what that's all about and what's in it, if you know anything.
The exit exams.
The exit exams, we've just talked about that. They're essentially minimum competency tests. And the effort on the part of the states is that people were seeing how dumbed down kids were, and that they couldn't make change, and they couldn't hardly read their name on their diploma. And so in an effort to not to have a safety net, if you will, students or schools started implementing exit exams, meaning that we will have at least a minimum level of competency. These exit exams are often written at a fifth grade level. Parents need to know that. They are not the 12th grade tests that we were used to. They're perhaps written at a fifth grade level. They're minimum competency only. They mean very little, and yet those are the test scores that we hear about.
Well, there was an event recently in the last month or so in New York, students were given, all students had to take the exit exam, and even if they had a high GPA, this was after all the finals were over with. If they failed this exit exam, then they wouldn't be able to graduate.
And I think they finally canceled that, didn't they, because so many of them didn't fail it?
No, there are school boards all around were trying to eliminate this, and the federal government wouldn't let them.
Now under No Child Left Behind, testing has just gone on steroids, because that's what drives everything is the testing. In fact, the federal government will withhold federal money from the states if they don't have enough kids test. In essence, 95% of all kids in every group category have to take the test every year. And the groups are socioeconomic status, so the school has to know how much money your family makes, your gender, your ethnicity, your race, apparently those are two different things, your disability, if you have one, and also how transient you are. They have a number of different categories, and 95% of the student in every category has to take the new comprehensive state exams that mirror the federal exam, because the federal government is just voracious in wanting data on every child.
Yeah, no child will be left behind. Thanks, Mike. Let's go to Nate. Is this Nate?
Yes, this is
Nathan. Nathan, okay.
How do you do? Listen, ma'am, I just need you to tell me this straight. How great is the ignorance out there among high school and college students, and how much of this really was planned? Because it certainly seems to have gotten worse in my lifetime. Maybe I'm just imagining things.
And you're very young. ahead.
I don't know. I'm not saying I'm the most articulate person in the world either. I am too much.
Okay, fine. Well, the question is.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. The question is, are we really effectively dumbing down our children? Are the level of education of our children falling over the last decade?
Well, the easiest way to see that is through the tests that have been given over the years. And this is one thing that I have used when I've spoken across Minnesota. I show the tests that were given in about 1895 in Minnesota, because we started testing every year in 1880. Testing wasn't anything new. It was just done locally. And so I show a test that we would give eighth graders. That's essentially when people stopped going to school with eighth grade. Those tests are so difficult that I think there's a lot of graduate students that wouldn't be able to pass our eighth grade exam from Minnesota from 1895.
We're going to have to let you go. We're out of time. God bless you. Thank you so very much for being with us.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
That will really help you to understand the nature of the spiritual battle in which we're currently involved is Gary Carr's book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism. Now, you may remember Gary Carr's book, Heir to Global Occupation. His second book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism, goes into the very real spiritual forces, the dark and sinister spiritual forces, which have energized those people who are molding the world in which we live today. Going to the background of Masonry, Theosophy, and he actually quotes extensively from the writings of these people who have helped to mold the events of the 20th century. The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Carr will give you tremendous insight into the background of what's happening in America today. And unless you understand the spiritual forces at work, you really can't understand the unfolding of events. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Carr.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I want to tell you just about a few of the other things. Of course, one of the things you can really do to help is to set up an Institute of the Constitution in your community, and you do that by calling 410-760-9068. That's 410-760-9068. And the Institute of the Constitution is basically 12 half-hour videos, and you put on a program every week for 12 weeks. And, of course, there are a couple of David Barton videos. But mainly, of course, these are to teach people about our heritage, our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, our Declaration of Independence, this whole idea upon which the concept of individual freedom under God originated. So I set up an institute. Believe me, this is the information that has been actively suppressed for so many years. And then, of course, we just simply want to mention that, of course, if you would like to know about food supplies, emergency supplies, in case things and the unthinkable should happen or there should be a major crisis, why, you should have some things on hand. And if you'd like to, give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for a ready reserve food catalog. And then we like to tell people that if you're out there and you're struggling paying for your health care costs, or, of course, if you've got no insurance at all, why not consider a Christian health cost sharing program? Now, you've got to be a Christian. You've got to go to a church or, a Catholic or Protestant, doesn't matter that much. But the important thing is you've got to be a Christian. And, of course, you have to be concerned and take certain, you'll have to just call them. And if you'd like to know more about the Christian health care sharing program, it's called MediShare. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. The MediShare program is actually a very good program. The people who have it really enjoy it. And if you want more information, call us at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Well, Dr. Stan back here, and this is the time when I have to remind you that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and certainly we would hope that many of you out there would give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's how we're able to do what we do. And the mainstay of what we do are the people who month in and month out send in $15 or $20. If you want to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, why, for a gift of at least $20 a month or more, you'll get our four best tapes for the month. You'll get our monthly newsletter, but more than that, you'll be helping us do what we do. And so if you'd like to get the Radio Liberty newsletter, we'll send you one free. And, of course, the June newsletter explains why we have so many new diseases, and we have cancer and antibiotics-resistant diseases. You'll want to get that newsletter, but hopefully you'll want to subscribe, or better still, join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. let me just mention a few of the products that do help us. One of them, of course, is Alamax. It's a garlic product I've taken for about 9 months, and we know that garlic is good for the blood pressure and for the cholesterol and for your circulation, and other studies that show it seems to be very, very beneficial as far as fighting disease. Alamax, you can find out about it by calling 866-405-4000. That's 866-405-4000. And then, of course, if you'd like to know about the Institute of the Constitution, something you can do to help us take back America, why, the telephone number is 410-760-9068. That's 410-760-9068. Of course, we carry Phonopoly, which is a board game to teach people how to read and spell and pronounce words phonetically. Phonopoly is $139.95, whereas most of the programs that really are effective will be $400, $500, $600. We also, of course, if you're out there and you would like to have, know what food you ought to have at hand or what supplies you should have on hand if there is a major crisis, why, of course, give us a call. And we'll send you a ready reserve food catalog. And lastly, if you are concerned about the cost of health care and health insurance and would like to have a Christian health cost sharing program, that is a Christian health care cost sharing program, give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask about MediShare. And then, of course, if you'd like to, of course, know anything about the water filters that they talk about, go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's www.radioliberty.com. There are all sorts of pictures up there. And if you buy them through us, of course, you'll get a video or a 4-tape set that we produce. So go to our website at radioliberty.com. You could pull down our newsletters. The back issues are there. Of course, we hope that maybe you want to buy the ready-bound back issues. They're wonderful to have on hand, and we certainly use them not infrequently. A lot of great knowledge there. And then, of course, if you can listen to our radio programs live 3 hours a day, there are links, of course, to the Genesis Network, which is gcnlive.com for our 3 to 4 program and our early morning program. There's a definite link to that. And so if you go to our website, you can learn how to listen to our programs 5 hours a day. People say, what can I do? Well, you can tell people to listen to our programs and get educated so you can educate others, because we're going to have to take America back one person at a time, and people are going to have to learn they've been brainwashed in their schools, in their churches, and by the media. And, of course, they've changed the message, and they've changed the music of the churches, both Catholic and Protestant, and they've done it very specifically and very intentionally. So if you'd like, of course, to learn more about this, we have a wonderful 4-tape set for Catholics called The Wisdom of Malachi Martin, a wonderful 4-tape set for Protestants called The Apostate Church, and, of course, for both a Musical Madness, a 4-tape set on what they've done to the music. And so we ask you, of course, to pray for America. We ask you to pray for our leaders. We ask you to pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and for our protection. And so we simply ask you, of course, to remember that we're involved in a spiritual battle on a political and cultural and ideological battlefield. And so, of course, until tomorrow, Dr. Stan, may the Lord be with you.